Get used to the mantra.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is absolutely beautiful outside in New Orleans on this Thursday, March 28th. Final Thursday of the month of March. Monday is April 1st. It's Easter weekend. Everyone's out and about, including General D and Chef Scotty, who's decided to join us on opening day. We have absolutely nothing Cardinals. That's all I need to say about Cardinals fans right there. That's all I need to say about Cardinals fans.
It's a lot of hate.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of today's program, Mr. Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, who's going to stop by, eat with us, and chat with us.
It's a nice-looking shirt, Corey.
It's a really nice-looking shirt. That's really nice.
The football coach has brought me a plethora of stuff.
I brought nothing.
Yeah. Well, you brought yourself. So have a seat when you ever feel like it, and we'll have a little fun here as well. As we got a lot to get into today, it is opening day for baseball, so I do have my Cubs hat on ready to go. At least we're not out of it today, as of now. Right now, we're all in first place. My Cubs, your Cardinals, John's Reds, even though he became a Reds fan last year.
Right.
Even though he says he's been a Reds fan his entire life.
It's ridiculous.
Yet he has zero gear.
Nothing.
Hope springs eternal.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I've got more Cardinals gear than I could wear in a year.
Right. So we do have that we can touch on. It is a big game tonight over at the Smoothie King Center. They're all big games for your New Orleans Pelicans as they have... Stop it. let me at least get into the intro before we just start getting into it. General D is wearing his Pel shirt, looking forward to tonight's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. That game will take on, we'll have Milwaukee 46-26 on the season in second, 11 games back of Boston, which the Pels play on Saturday.
But they have a losing record on the road.
They do have a losing record on the road, 17-18, 29-8
at home. They've lost like a million in a row or something on the road.
Well, they're 5-5 in their last 10. The last time the Pels played them, they didn't win. New Orleans, still in fifth, General D. Still in fifth. 6.5 back. The Clippers winning yesterday. Got no help yesterday. I mean, everybody you wanted to lose didn't, including the Lakers. They are now still in ninth, the Lakers. But the Pels are in fifth. 6.5, a game back of the Clippers. One game up on the Mavs that have been playing really well as of late. They've won 5 in a row. And Phoenix is 7th at 8 games back. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Sacramento, 8.5 back in 8th. The Lakers are in 9th, 10 back. Golden State, 12.5. They won yesterday in a very interesting game where, imagine this, Draymond Green got ejected and out. And Steph Curry was seen crying afterwards, I guess out of either anger or something. I don't know. But
why is he still in the league?
I don't know. I think he strangled his coach. That's what he's partly... Well, no. I mean, there was an altercation with Kerr.
Right.
I want to say the last game, which was Tuesday, right? Today's Thursday. Tuesday, he did one of those kind of choking a player and another basketball move thing. And then yesterday he got tossed out. So, yeah, you're right. Back-to-back games plus something with his coach. I mean, this guy's just not safe.
His skills have been diminished. And now he's doing everything he can to still kind of stay within the spotlight. And he's now playing dirty. I mean, he's been a dirty kind of fringe player before. But now it's just so evident what he's doing to kind of.
There's some mental issues.
Here's the thing. Yeah. The Warriors have had to
strangle your coach.
They've won 2 straight. And they have to because the Houston Rockets won again. They are now on a 10-game winning streak.
Right.
And they're one game out of the Warriors, General D. Not saying that it happens or doesn't happen. I know the Lakers right now, they kind of feel they're going to be in the ninth spot.
Right.
LeBron's still saying they got a shot at 6 or better as long as they stay healthy. If Golden State doesn't make it, and Houston winds up playing the Lakers, is that a dangerous game for L.A.?
I think so. I mean, you're talking about a young team that gets up and down the floor. Şengün inside is very effective.
Lakers can't run with them?
I don't think the Lakers can run with them, especially with the depth that they have. And really, I mean, Green is kind of the straw that serves the drink. I mean, if he's on, that team is very, very dangerous. And then Şengün, like I said, is playing – well above his time where he's in the NBA. Right. I mean, he's a young player, but he's really playing above where he should be at this point. And they can be something that can make a little bit of noise.
Man, they've really come together quickly. And it's fun to watch.
Well, so they got some good coaching
sort of like
there, too.
We've got a good young team, too, that just needs to come together at the right time. And it's...
Well, we're going to get into that and talk a little bit more about that here as well, as where it goes, because, you know, in our group text, 4K, ever the optimist, they're not going anywhere. And then Scott clarified, well, where exactly is anywhere? And he goes, well, not winning a championship. I'm like, well, that's three series away. Because in all honesty, I do want to ask this today as we go. If winning a first-round matchup is... successful. I absolutely do.
I
think getting a six seed or above is still a successful season.
It's the next step.
If you win a first-round matchup, I'm absolutely thrilled to death, right? I mean, you have to go through that process. And that's why I was bringing it up, because for John, apparently, unless you win a championship.
We were talking.
But this team is not in a championship window.
But we've been talking, comparing this to the 07, 08, 09 teams.
Sure.
And they won two series. And you don't feel it with this team right now. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. But when they play teams that are playoff teams...
So, is that a truth or is it not? You feel that way, right? They are an above 500 record against teams that are better than them in the West.
But it seems like when they need to win them...
What did you say? Seems. And that's what I'm getting at, is maybe what we want them to do, what their expectations are, or does it come from, General D, something you and I text about throughout the game, does it come from this? Well, they could have won that game. You know what I'm saying? It's different than when you play a team that's better than you. They're a better talent, you don't belong on the court, or, hey, we're just not there yet. Is part of the reason that so many Pelicans fans feel they can't beat better teams or the good teams, because you're not alone. I hear that all the time. They're great, but you know, if they play anybody above them, they can't beat them, which is not true. They actually have better records than people think against them, and I'll break it down here in a second. But do you think it comes from a game like Wednesday or Tuesday or games like that in the past?
It's a totality of the fact that we don't close out ball games.
No.
So when we're winning big, a lot of times we've held on to win the ball game. When we're coming from behind, we're using so much energy to get right there, and it's like, oh, we were so close, and we didn't close out the game. This team has a very big problem with knowing who to go to in crunch time. The ball, this game should have been in Zion's hands.
Yes.
He doesn't touch the ball with 2:30 left,
and
have a closer on this team.
And CJ's launching a three-point shot with 15 seconds left on the play clock.
And the ball never moved out of his hands either.
In a three-point lead.
Yeah.
Well, and again,
that just blew me away. That changed the whole end of the game.
Well, I did say in yesterday, too, as well, I wasn't there. I'm not on the court. I don't know if he's calling sets. I don't know what the plays were called.
But he said it in post-game.
No, I hear you. So yesterday he did speak after practice, and we'll get to that sound here in a quick second. I just want to go through this here as well. Denver, Pels are 1-2. CJ missed the first of those losses.
We match up well with them.
OKC, the Pels are 1-2 this season. Zion missed the first loss. B.I. missed the second loss. Minnesota, they're 2-2. Zion and CJ missed both of the losses against the T-Wolves. Against the Clippers, New Orleans is 3-1. Against Dallas, they're 2-2. CJ missed one of those in the losses. Against Sacramento, they're 4-0. Against Phoenix, now they're 0-1. You are going to play them twice in the next couple of days. So a total against those teams, Denver, OKC, Minnesota, Clippers, Dallas, Sacramento, Phoenix, New Orleans is 13-10.
Okay.
But I don't think you're wrong in feeling that, because I think that's why you're not alone, is what I'm saying.
It goes directly to the end of ball games.
But that's what I'm getting at, is this team isn't just winning games against that. And as I think Graf, or I think it was JD that brought it up, we were talking about them this week on the show. I think it was DeShazer. He said, well, who do you think Denver and Dallas and OKC and Minnesota are beating? Other teams as well that don't have all great records. So, look, you're almost to 50 wins for a reason, because you are good, but I do think some of that is a learning process all the way around, from staff, from players to understanding it, because they haven't been there, and I understand that, to an extent. Tuesday was rough, though, because I'm like, well, okay, see, it's a younger team. I mean, Giddey hasn't been in the postseason, and right? And,
right, no,
and,
that's
and
what
Chet
I'm saying.
Chet Holmgren's a rookie, but Chet Holmgren also played in some games for UConn that, you know, kind of mattered and things of that nature.
The teams you just rattled off, yeah. At the end of ball games, you can almost say, we know who the ball's going to on each of those teams. On our team, who's the ball going to?
Right. Until
that every team that we've talked about, we do not have a closer that we say that the ball is going to this guy, and that's where we have to hook our team to.
You get
and that's
it
not
to
happening.
Your most unstoppable player,
right?
Which is Zion Williamson,
and it can be game the game.
Give him the ball.
It can be game the game, but in this game specifically, Zion was not being stopped, and he had such a will to win. There were times that they were asking him to come out the game, and he was saying, "No, leave me in the ball game." So there's a guy that's changed his perception, at least for a lot of the people within this media market, of saying he's in shape. He wants to be on the floor, and he wants to win. His will to win. He needs the ball at the end of the ballgame.
Here's what he said after the game on Tuesday.
We definitely could have managed the clock better and had some more movement. We were kind of stagnant. And I definitely got to demand the ball more in those situations.
All right. Yesterday after practice.
That's what you want to hear.
Okay. Yesterday after practice, Willie Green was asked specifically about that. Reflected on the final 3 minutes. Then he touches on about Zion getting the ball here as well.
No, great question. I'm not sure if it's necessarily confidence, but it's definitely just the willingness to continue to make winning plays. I thought we had some good looks, like you said, that we missed, but it was really on the defensive end. We scratch and claw our way back into the game, 5-point game. We give up 2 offensive rebounds in 1 possession. We come down, take a tough shot. They come down and we 3-point game and we give up a 3 to Shea Gilgeous that ties the game. Just some plays that we got to have a little bit more of a sense of urgency during those moments.
As for specifically with Zion,
we were playing through him. I think those are moments where it was definitely a moment where we got the offensive rebound, kind of put back. We ran a play for Z. That's a moment he's got to go demand the ball, and then you know we live with the result.
I don't know. It's like they took away the first option, and he didn't get the ball in his hands. But there should be second actions that would be a back screen for him or a cross screen that gets the ball in his hands. He can't just be denied the ball, and that's it.
Well, he said, Willie Green, at the end of the game here, and I'll go find the bite too, that was kind of part of the problem that was happening was that they were denying him early on. But to your point, one of the things that I've seen as well is I've seen in the past, right, other players where pass it back out. Put your hand back up, get it back in. You know what I'm saying?
But to that same point, we were not denying the ball to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander either.
No. Well,
that was another big problem. He started in the end of the ball game. That's when he rose to the next level. Yeah. When his first team All-NBA turned up to the Heat and started making shot after shot, and the ball would go out of his hands, you cannot let him get the ball back at all costs. Do not help. Do not any. Just mirror him and don't let him get the ball. Make somebody else beat you.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, like I said, I agree. I do think they have to figure it out, see who it's going to be, and see if you learn from it. I mean, if that game gets close tonight, see if that happens on that. Because Corey Glore, who's enjoying his lunch over here, is a Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Yes.
And that
we need
probably,
a win tonight.
Well, that was kind of part of the thing earlier this season, too, right? You have Damian Lillard and you have Giannis. So who is the person with 10 seconds left on the clock? You know, who's going to get that ball? Who's going to decide that? And then they've gotten a little bit better, and we can touch on that on all much here as well with him when he joins at the bottom of the hour. Chris Blair is going to be joining us next to preview LSU Arkansas. Are you okay? Are you okay? They didn't win the first 2 series.
They're in trouble.
I'm just wondering where you are. We're not ready to
UNOJohnson.com,
right?
I'm good.
Okay.
I just want Almond and Blake to win.
Okay.
I really, you know, I love LSU. I do. I'm more of a football fan there than I am anything.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
They're young.
On the edge here. Well, you lost 7 of 9 everyday players. I mean, that's
yeah. I think he can scratch this year.
Yeah.
And worry about next year.
All right, easier way. We'll take a quick break as we are live over at Francesca Deli and Pizzeria and Katie and Catering by Katie's. Did I say that right?
it was good enough
for you. Well, I mean, you had like five things on it, you know?
It's Francesca by Katie's.
Yeah, deli and
deli. Francesca and by Katie's, Deli and Pizzeria and Katie's.
Exactly. John Forkin, we're going to talk with him here as well. Corey Glore, bottom of the hour. Chris Blair, go have some lunch. Go enjoy yourself. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Lakeview Massage and Therapy is a must for recovery, getting rid of pesky pain, or to simply relax. It's part of Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic and Wellness, so this isn't a neon sign place. They have specialists performing work geared specifically to you. Rejuvenate with a 60, 90, or 120-minute session of Himalayan salt stone, injury and recovery, lymphatic detox, pre- and postnatal, post-mastectomy movement, traditional therapeutic massages, and ashiatsu. I've had that. You want to try it. Trust me. LakeviewMassageandTherapy.com for info where recovery meets relaxation.
Evan Cohen here from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio for True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Broken faucet? Faucet dripping? Can't stop the leak? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Now let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. We're live at Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria and Catering. Think I got that all right. Don't know if I did or not. Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Been Arkansas getting ready for a pretty big series as well. They're all big. Chris, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm great. Yeah, it is a big series. Hard to believe this is just the third week and already the second top 10 matchup for LSU baseball is going back to last week's Florida series. And then you have Arkansas on the road, then Vanderbilt at home, then Tennessee on the road. It's quite the gauntlet to start conference play.
You talked about that, and you said it was mighty nice of the SEC to kind of start those three conference weekends the way they were. We touched on it last time when we talked to you about that series against Mississippi State. What are your overall thoughts on Florida? Was it similar? Was it different in the way the Gators won that series?
Yeah, I mean, I think that LSU had, you know, some of the same issues. You know, obviously bullpen issues. I think the starting pitching, you know, this past weekend against the Gators, which I think, you know, I think Mississippi State certainly is going to surprise people this year. I think they're better than their preseason ranking. But, you know, Florida is a super talented team. And, you know, I thought starting pitching from Holman, from Jump, and even Thatcher Hurt for four innings was, you know, was good. The bullpen had trouble. You know, in the offense at times with missed opportunities. So, you know, there was a lot of similarities to the Florida series at home versus, you know, what happened at Mississippi State on the road. So, I mean, I think it's clear where the improvement has to come from. And, you know, having been around the guys at practice this week, even before the Southeastern game, I know the work is being put in to fix that. So it'll be interesting. You know, they're coming up here on the road. I think most of the pressure is going to be on the Razorbacks. And hopefully maybe they tighten up because LSU's coming to town and they so badly want to beat LSU, not only in baseball but in every sport, you know, that hopefully some of those corrections that LSU has made, some improvements they have made, you know, will give them a shot to steal one on the road. If you can take two of three on the road against the number one team, suddenly things look a lot better as we head towards the conference schedule.
Obviously, when it gets to conference play in these SEC series, Chris, it begins on the mound to an extent, right? Obviously, I know a lot of focus has been on the hitting for LSU, but overall through these two weekend series, are you seeing the improvement that you want? Are you seeing the kind of pitching, or is Coach Johnson seeing the improvement that he wants from his pitching?
You know, I think, again, I think overall when you look at the starters that we've kind of gone with now with, you know, Luke Holman obviously as being your ace, I mean, I think outside of the Mississippi State game where he got touched up a little bit, I mean, he's been consistent. And, you know, I think Coach, just talking to him, believes that that particular game, Mississippi State had a chip on their shoulder. They were certainly aggressive. Luke didn't have his best stuff, and I think that's an anomaly. So You know, I don't think when it comes to the starting pitching that there's, you know, a major issue. I know that Monday night on his radio show, he made note of the fact that both Mississippi State and Florida threw their best arm, what you would consider the Friday night or game one starter in an SEC series. Both teams had their best pitchers going in game three. And so when we made our way up to Fayetteville yesterday on the plane, it was clear that, you know, Luke Holman was going to be on Friday. Gage Jump was going to be on Saturday in the finale. And so there would be a little change in the weekend rotation. I'm not so sure that it's totally due to that reason. But again, I think he's got confidence in the pitching staff. They pitched well enough at times to win. You know, I think the bullpen got completely unraveled in the last two Sunday games, if you will, in conference play. And I think there's some work to be done there, and there's certainly some roles to be solidified out of that pen. There's a number of really talented arms, but who's going to be the more consistent guy that can deliver, for the most part, game after game? I don't think we're at that point yet, so that will continue to have to improve.
What are some other keys when you look at just moving forward in terms of, I guess, is it consistency from I guess, the plate that Coach wants to see? What did he say this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think you certainly have some big hitters and heavy hitters that are in the lineup. I mean, it's great to have Tommy White in your lineup. It's great to have Hayden Travinsky in your lineup. I think they're just looking for more consistency and, you know, trying to get that lineup to where when you get the guys that are batting 300 or above that you feel good can deliver at the plate, that you've got people on base. You know, you look back to the Florida series, there was a lot, you know, there was enough home runs. Problem was there were, you know, solo home runs. Whereas the Gators were knocking two-run home runs. So I think that, you know, you're trying to assemble a lineup so that, you know, we saw Ethan Pryde lead off on Tuesday. We saw Mac Bingham before that. And I don't think they're stereotypical leadoff hitters. But, you know, as Jay explained on Monday, they may not have the stereotypical leadoff hitter. But they need somebody who can strike fear into the pitcher that this isn't about, you know, just earning a walk or, you know, dropping a flare single into the outfield. This is a guy that can, you know, use a little power, maybe even get a double. And suddenly, if Tommy White's second or third in the order, there's a runner or two on base, and that makes him a lot more dangerous. So I think there's still some tweaking to be done in the lineup. It'll be interesting to see what they go with and how they set it up tonight in game one against Arkansas, who is throwing Hagen Smith, which, you know, arguably, as Jay believes, is the best pitcher in college baseball right now. He doesn't have quite Paul Skeens numbers through the first six starts, but they're pretty close. I think well above 60 strikeouts, under 15 walks. ZRA is virtually nil. I think Paul's numbers were a little better after six starts, but still, he's pretty good right now. I think he's the standard bearer in the SEC.
How do you attack him, Chris? Is it one of those things you try to be aggressive early in the count? Do you play some small ball? Do you try to just get on base? And when you do, try to move them around?
Well, I think with a pitcher like that, you've got to force him to make mistakes. And by that, meaning you don't chase the junk. You've got to have a lot of plate discipline. I mean, and that's not to say you can't be aggressive. But, you know, it's kind of the way LSU wanted to go up against Caglione. You know, you want him to stay within the strike zone. And if you stay away from the slider and you stay away from the hard breaking ball, eventually you're going to force a guy to put one over the plate. And, again, that's going to increase your numbers if you're throwing and swinging at strikes. So I don't think that's going to change tonight. They'll be looking for fastball, and when they see it, I think they'll be pretty aggressive and try to make solid contact. I mean, look, this is a lineup that, you know, up and down can hit the baseball at, you know, 100 miles an hour fairly routinely. They just need to avoid the bad at-bats, the non-productive at-bats. And, you know, when it comes to being patient, you know, I think you really, once you start to really force them to tunnel that baseball across the plate, then it's a little easier to draw some walks. It's a little easier to maybe get hit by pitch. But more importantly, you can put solid bat on ball when you force him to throw over the plate.
It's interesting. I think of the SEC. I think of a lot of places that are tough to play here as well. And then I read in the game notes, LSU's lost five of its last six SEC games in Fayetteville. Have they developed themselves a little home park advantage there?
Oh, no, it's without question one of the best environments in all of college baseball. I mean, they show up, they stay. There's nobody leaving, you know, in the sixth or seventh inning, even if Arkansas's leading. I mean, they soak up every second of Razorback baseball. And, you know, Baum went under some renovations several years back, and they really made it a grand ballpark. Has a feel of maybe a classic turn of the century Major League Baseball park. But yeah, no, it's a tough environment. There's going to be 12,000-13,000 plus there tonight and tomorrow night and on Saturday, and they're going to call the pigs about 22 times. So yeah, it's a tough place, and LSU has struggled up here. There's no question.
All right, calling the pig. You got the cowbells. Where do they rank? Would you rather cowbells or pig suey, Chance?
Well, I think just for my own mental health, I could deal with the pig suey chance. They're not constant. They're just, you know, like I said, 15, 20 times a game. The cowbells do start to give you a headache at some point. But, you know, kudos to them. They've created that atmosphere. Yeah. They've got a team that battles each year for SEC titles and certainly looking to get to Omaha. So Dave Van Horn's built a juggernaut of a program. And, you know, Jay told me Monday night, right now we sit here, they deservedly should be the number one team in the country.
Yeah,
but I think it's a winnable series. I really do, and that's not just the purple and gold. Linda's talking. I think if LSU's bats can be consistent throughout the weekend, this is not an Arkansas team, at least by the numbers, that slap the ball over the park. I mean, in fact, they're currently, I think, 12th in the SEC in batting average, and it's a team that obviously has gotten off to a great SEC start. They're 5-1. But as opposed to LSU, the Razorbacks played Missouri and Auburn. LSU played Mississippi State on the road, and Florida then number 6 in the land at home. So, you know, I don't know if we know everything about this Arkansas team yet, but they're confident. They certainly believe, and so I think it's LSU's opportunity to come up here and play the number one team and kind of use that as motivation for maybe picking up a solid series win, which would get them right back in where they need to be.
Good stuff as always, Jay. Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us a little bit of your time here as well. I was kind of looking at your timeline there, and you got a chance to still do the podcast and have some interesting guests, including, I don't know, gymnastics team that did pretty well recently.
Yeah, it was fun visiting with Jay Clark. You know, he came on in the fall and visited with us and kind of gave us a preview right before they had Gym 101 at the Maravich Center, and you know, we talked about the tough schedule and. You know, we didn't know that eventually there would be, I think, 9 top 10 teams that they would battle throughout the regular season. And then to cap it off with an SEC title, I think the 5th for LSU Gymnastics. And yeah. The 1st for Jay as head coach, and he's co-coach of the year, announced yesterday. It was cool, and he seems fired up. He's very confident in what these ladies can possibly do once they start the postseason next week right here in Fayetteville, in fact. They'll be in the number 2 overall seed, and they'll be in the region in Fayetteville, and they're excited to get at it after it. So you can check it out on LSU Gold or wherever you get your podcast. It's on the Play-by-Play podcast with the illustrious and legend Kent Lowe, and we have Jay Clark on there. It's a good conversation.
Good stuff, man. Looking forward to hearing that when I get a second. At LSU Tigers Voice is the way to give a follow over on X. Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. Thanks, man.
You got it, Gus. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, for sure. When we come back, John Forcade, do y'all do anything at Ole Miss? Like, I mean, Arkansas calls the pig, you know, and there's cowbells, Mississippi State. What do you guys do?
We just do the are you ready? Hell yeah, the hottie toddy song.
Oh, wow.
That'll go off throughout
the game. That strikes fear in a lot of people's hearts.
Well, go play up there at Oxford. You need to take a little road trip up to Oxford. I think they got a better record than LSU does right now,
we talking a little smack?
Yeah, well, anytime you do better than a team that you talk smack about.
I didn't talk any smack. I didn't bring anything up about LSU.
No, but you brought up Ole Miss.
Right. And I brought up, you know, Mississippi State.
Well, Mississippi State got them bells, dude. That's the worst.
The cowbells.
I played Jesus, God, they're brutal. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, no doubt. When we come back, we'll transition to Tulane baseball. It's the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Mr. Corey Glore, is here. And we'll chat with him. It is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous day. John Forcade, the chef, the voices. And we'll have your calls here as well. It'll be fun to kind of chat into. As it is the Sports Angle for ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is now live in Louisiana. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When it comes to brain and spine surgery, you want an expert. You want Thibodeau Regional. Neurosurgeons perform complex back, neck, and brain surgeries, as well as minimally invasive and even same-day procedures. Spine and even basic brain surgery may be commonly available in our region. What isn't common is the expertise and quality care you'll receive at Thibodeau Regional Brain and Spine Clinic.
You already know that Ramsey's is the place to buy engagement rings.
And we'll custom design your ring if you want, at no extra charge.
Ramsey's is also the place to buy big anniversary diamonds.
Give the woman you love a diamond at least twice as big as the one in her engagement ring.
You want to do it because you want to see that look on her face.
And we're going to give you a price that makes you happy, too.
Everybody's going to be happy.
Ramsey's customers are always happy.
Take a look and you'll see that we have nearly 2,000 Google reviews with a 4.9 star average.
That's three times as many Google reviews as any other store in New Orleans.
The customer has spoken.
What did the customer say, Aunt Lori?
Wes, haven't you been paying attention? The customers are saying they like Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
But Bobby, we already knew that. Haven't you seen all those people with big smiles and bright eyes when they see our diamonds and our prices?
Ramsey's is the store for people in love.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
800-998-1003 on the Rooter Man Can Hotline. As Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, we are outside at Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria and Catering. There we go. You understand.
Are you okay?
Well, I mean, you understand what we have to do, right?
Yeah. You had about three boxes to check there, and you deliberately checked each one.
Yes, that's how it works. I mean, well, you understand how it works. I mean, Corey Glore, I mean, when you voice the two-lane green wave, when you're doing well, I can't wait to see what football season is going to be like, where it's like first down brought to you by so-and-so, and then, you know, that tackle was brought to you by so-and-so. Then
that incomplete pass.
Yes, that incomplete pass was brought to you by
so-and-so. Got to pay the bills.
That's how it works.
We're just salespeople.
I somewhat joke, but I remember one of the first times I went and visit my sister who lives in Vermont. And, you know, you can catch on any, you know, station either Red Sox baseball or Yankee baseball. And it was the first time I got to listen to a Yankee game, you know, Yankee broadcast. And Corey,
everything.
When I say everything, that ball, that strike, that ground out.
Foul balls, yes. Everything.
Like, legit. You're not joking. The foul balls, yeah. that catch, that out was every out was something. I mean, it was unbelievable. I kid you not. To the point where literally I didn't know what was going on. My dad and I in a car, we were just laughing. I'm like, is everything sponsored? And it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Could you do that? I mean, you're capable of, like, the 2-2 filed away. That's brought to you by Oxygen. Breathe it. You need it. Here's the 2-2, and that's going to be low and outside. That's full count is brought to you by Katie's. You're going to get full when you go eat over there. Three balls, two strikes. I mean, like, that's what we like to do.
I don't think I could do it any better than what you just pulled out of your behind right there. Just pulling the, like, listen, hey, they're paying me. I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I'll put
no, that's how it works.
Oh, yeah.
Help me out here. Give me some scouting report. You've probably watched more Bucks games than I have. Who are they right now? Obviously, we saw them make a pretty big coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't start out that well at the All-Star break. Everyone's like, chill, it's going to happen. And then I'm listening to Willie Green yesterday, and he says, hey, they added Patrick Beverley and some other guys, and it's kind of helped them. That guy is that guy, isn't he? Like, after post-All-Star break, somebody trades for Patrick Beverley and their defense gets better, things of that nature. But who are the Bucks today as we look at them on March 28th?
Well, they're a team that does actually play some semblance of defense now, and that was the biggest reason why Adrian Griffin got fired when he did, despite where the Bucks were record-wise. And so now they're actually playing – kind of competent basketball on both ends of the floor now. There has been a little bit of a better fit now between Giannis and Lillard. That was not always the case at the start of the year. And so those two are beginning to work a little bit more in harmony together now. And they have gotten Chris Middleton back into the fold, and he's been hurt for most of the year. And so this is kind of a full strength operation now, by and large. Now, Giannis and Middleton and even Lillard have been in and out of the lineup here of late.
Okay.
But they do run a lot more of a smooth operation. It had to be on the defensive end to get it started, and that's what's happened. And Beverly does come in and provide a punch in that, but they've also started utilizing Brook Lopez a heck of a lot more, where his strengths are down low defensively, where he can clean up down there. They were spreading him out before. That just doesn't make any sense. So they're looking a little bit more like the team I think everyone thought they would be at the beginning of the year. It just took them way too long to get there.
When you look at Damian Lillard, how has his interaction sort of been? I mean, what I'm saying is Milwaukee went and got him thinking that Giannis needed an offensive counterpart. Is that kind of the reason?
The idea here, not to be too specific about this Lillard's strengths with Giannis's strengths, but the idea of those two in a pick and roll together is borderline unstoppable. Which is, all right, who do you guard in that scenario? That's a theory. That wasn't lining up at the start of the year. It has started to line up a lot more in the last couple weeks, really, post-All-Star break. We have seen a switch in how this team has played post-All-Star break, last game notwithstanding, when they collapsed against the Lakers. But you are seeing just a little bit more of seeing eye to eye with Lillard's strengths and Giannis's strengths. Those two can still get a little bit too hero ball-y at times, and then the offense can bog down. But they are definitely working a little bit more in conjunction with each other now.
Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, as his Bucks take on the Pelicans.
Your New Orleans
tonight.
Bucks expert.
Yeah. Well,
the one time they're here, and I've got a baseball game to call.
As the graph would say, of course.
Yes.
Yes. That's how it works. Do you know he says that so much that the conductor, I do believe, has saved that as a graphism?
And of course.
There it is. Of course. There it is.
Of course.
There it is.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
There it
I
is.
Mean, usually when I watch the Bucks, they tend to frustrate me and they tend to lose when I'm there in person. It always pans off. So
you sure you can't go?
I apologize.
You sure you can't
this is a bigger
Somebody
game for the Pels and probably for the game. Bucks right now.
Okay.
77-64. This is Root Canal watching this.
We have a whole folder. A whole folder.
I think in games that are tricky to watch and call, I usually say they're a finger painting.
I don't think they'll let us forfeit the fourth quarter and just get on the plane. We could get into Boston a couple hours early.
Those are tough games. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. We've all had it.
We all know where you just sit here and you're, how am I going to fill the next quarter and a half or half?
It's where you're like, there's nobody listening. Yes. I can just get up and leave now, right?
Well, the beauty of it is I do think that this weekend series, which starts on Thursday because of the Easter weekend when it comes to baseball, sir, I don't think you're going to have that because all these series seem to be competitive, too. And something that I brought up to Coach Jay Ullman on Tuesday was Tulane has found a way to score late, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. So even if things don't start out well, I've seen them be able to put some runs across the plate later on. What do you attribute that to?
No, I think everyone's trying to kind of put their finger on why this team is doing so well scoring runs late.
Because, I'd like to know how to do it in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's the thing right now. And so, settling in, getting just looks at pitches in person as the game goes, reading things, getting more into the flow of the game. I don't know if it's that or it's just you're seeing bullpen arms and you haven't seen strong bullpens or it's just a team that stays locked in even if things are frustrating in the first half of the game. 37 runs in the eighth inning this year for Tulane. That's their highest scoring inning of the year thus far. And so what it shows is, all right, if they have a lead late, they're able to build. If they are trailing late, like they were Tuesday against Southern Miss, in a game it felt like they were kind of out of it, a lot of things were not going their way, well, they were able to actually mount a little bit of a charge there at the end of the game. So they're never really out of a scenario, and they aren't just kind of slinking back and calling a game over. They know how to put some things together and stay locked in. It's a veteran group. That's the other thing, where they're not going to waver with their attention span. You have a lot of at-bats, a lot of age that really dots this lineup, even if they all weren't at 2
Tulane to start off collegiately.
Right.
And so you got to play a full nine innings against this Tulane lineup, even if the first couple innings aren't quite the strongest suit right now for this offense. The last five or six have been.
When you look at UTSA, I coach again on Tuesday. He's like, that's a pretty good baseball team. Do a lot of different things, put up some runs. Big time hitters. When you preview them, what do you see?
Well, they're the best hitting team in the league, and they have a pretty decent rotation that's unproven right now. They have maybe the best closer in the league, one of the best in the nation. So the late scoring prospect here for Tulane, that I think Jay Allman would absolutely like to see the run start earlier, because you do have a stud at the back end of the UTSA bullpen that you can't lean on to get off of. But what fascinates me about this UTSA lineup is that they're the best hitting team in the league. They're the third best home run hitting team in the league. They draw the second fewest walks. They're swinging at everything, and they're usually making some good contact. And it's almost the exact same setup with their pitching staff. They give up a lot of hits. They don't walk a lot of folks. They don't have a lot of wild pitches. Everything's in the zone with them, and they are not going to take pitches off the plate. Can you get them to bite on pitches that are off the plate or get some weak contact? That's what two of the three pitchers that are going to be going in the starting work for Tulane this week, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for grounders.
Right.
On tonight's guy in Luke Flatta, Saturday's guy in Will Clements. So can you use that to your advantage? If you leave anything just a little bit too much in the zone, though, this team will make you pay for it.
How key is it to, you think, not only get off to those good starts here, but just on the mound to get some confidence going early?
Well, I think this is where the day less to work with for the starting rotation and seeing a team that can hit the ball this well in UTSA, I think it's
inevitable. Y'all just played Southern Miss Tuesday, right?
Yes, and now you're moving everyone up a day in the starting rotation. Something that you know, Chris just talked with you about the consistency with the lineup and early on. I think Tulane's going to have to score often here this weekend, because even though the starting rotation has been pretty solid, especially Welch in the Saturday role, he's going to be pitching tomorrow night. He moves up a day. And so how efficient can your starting rotation be when their routine is slightly off and they have to accelerate what they need to do heading into a game day against an offense of this caliber? I think Tulane's going to have to really get the first third of the game offense really cranked up here this weekend against, you know, UTSA. They got a freshman right-hander starting tonight, and he has not dealt with this short rest scenario yet as well. So, you know, I think this is an offense that's going to have to really spring to life right away here this weekend if you want to walk out of here with a series against the Roadrunners.
We're going to have Maddie on next week and in the coming weeks to kind of give us a little heads up on what's going on over there at spring football in practice as it's going on. Because it's got to be exciting, because it almost is kind of like a new team, right? New everything. I mean, new coaching staff, new coaches, things of that nature, that you can have that. But what are you kind of hearing? I know you've been basketball and baseball and traveling, but just when you walk around campus, what's the feeling on this football team here?
Speed. That's the thing that stood out to me. And you're right, it does feel like a brand new team. Hey, Carver.
How you doing?
It does feel like a brand new team. It was fascinating to walk around a spring practice, and I see quarterback wearing number 7. That's not Michael Pratt. It's Ty Thompson. And I see a wide receiver wearing number 4. That's Mario Williams now, not Jaquan Jackson. But the way that they both kind of operate looked a lot similar to the way those two operated, Pratt and Jackson, together. And so getting adjusted to that, where it's like, oh, I know that number. Different guy, looks similar, a little bit faster, a lot faster for Mario Williams, no slouch to Jaquan Jackson, who's about to get drafted here, but it is a different group, and it is a different look to everything here, and it just seems like everything's a half step faster from what I'm used to seeing it from the last couple of years, and that was a pretty quick team the last few years as well, but this one, there's some speed to burn here on this group.
It's exciting times in Uptown, isn't it?
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. I mean, there's a lot going on here. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Can I find one more?
McGraffism?
Yeah. Do you want a good one or?
I want you to conduct here.
Let's see.
Is Carver not in school anymore?
No, it's Easter week.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I just thought he's
all
just working
school
now.
Yeah, there's a way to.
He's your producer.
I think he could. He could. Let's see. Here we go.
Well, we'll take it. Man, these guys are going to drive me nuts.
That would
be a long list.
Not that I'm not already.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
A lot of things.
At least he knows.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that would drive him nuts.
At least he knows.
A lot of things that happen there. All right, so a little basketball, a little baseball. Did you watch the tournament at all? Do you have time to watch the tournament?
Well, yeah, I am more locked in the tournament, and I was telling you this during a break. I'm a diehard baseball fan. I did not know today was opening day until yesterday.
Yeah.
And so that's part of me being kind of in my world right now where basketball just ended for me, but it's happening still with March Madness and college baseball's happening. And it's part because I'm not sure Major League Baseball knows how to promote their events. And so there is kind of a soft launching opening day here today.
Right.
But no, the tournament is, I think it's been rather fascinating to see. I think you got a right mix in the first weekend where you had some of your upsets and your Cinderellas. But when you look at this weekend now, the Sweet 16, you have your real time. Title contenders all colliding here. So I think it's been a pretty dang good tournament thus far.
You think he looks like me? Carver?
Carver or Graf? Yeah. I think Yoshi looks more like you.
You like Yoshi? Do you have a Super Mario favorite character?
Well, if we're playing Mario Kart,
yeah.
It depends on who else I'm playing with. I will go with either a Toad if I need some speed or a Donkey Kong if I just want to flatten folks.
Really?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. Well, we'll put the headset on. We can't hear you without your mic on. He's going to learn eventually the protocols of
whether he wants
broadcasting.
To or not.
Yes. Wait, say that again.
Mario's the kind of the fastest.
Oh, is he?
Mario's the fastest?
Yeah. I play at him every time I win.
Wow. Well, sounds like you've got a challenge on your hands,
sir. Do you think you can beat Corey in Mario Kart? Mr. Corey, you think you can beat him in Mario Kart?
I think I could beat you.
Oh, wow. I love that. A little smack talk. I like
all
that.
All right, well, it's on
now. We'll set up a Mario Kart challenge.
Yes, as we should.
You need to come over, man, whenever you get a free chance.
Yeah.
I was going to say on a weekend, but that ain't happening.
Weekends aren't a thing for me.
No, June.
June, July, June, and then
June, July.
That's about it.
Then we'll have you over by then. Too bad the weather will be like this. Mr. Yeah. Corey Glore.
And maybe play as Yoshi.
What time is the... first pitches?
6:30 tonight, 6:30 Friday, 12 noon on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Gus.
When we come back, we'll
I kind of forgot what day it is.
It's Thursday.
You
Sports
and me
Hangover
both, bud.
On ESPN New Orleans.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering. Also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. Call Joe's Septic Contractors 24-7 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi. Visit Joe's Septic at viscom.net.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Something amazing is happening. Despite a citywide blackout, this company is still up and running. That's because CDW deployed and managed a cost-effective Eaton TripLight Series Smart Pro UPS to safeguard equipment easily and reliably. Keep the power on and protect your IT equipment from electrical challenges. TripLight by Eaton and CDW. Make amazing happen. Find out more at cdw.com/triplight.
Around here at Wrangler, we are all excited for spring. The longer days, the warmer nights. When you've got your pick of shorts and jeans, either works just fine. Because comfort keeps us going. So grab your family, your friends, and your Wrangler layers for some fresh air adventures together. Blue skies, open roads. Wrangler, for the ride of life.
We are the soldiers of the Louisiana Army National Guard. We are your neighbors. We are your sons and daughters. While we serve part-time, we are learning valuable life and job skills. We are earning money for college, for trade and technical schools, and for certification. We are proud to serve both our country and our home state. We are your Louisiana Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Drake 998-1003 on the Rooter Man Can Hotline. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, kayaks, paddle boards, fly fishing, all of that stuff and more. Feel free to go out there and have a little fun. General D stopped by. Corey Glore has stopped by. An absolutely beautiful day, man.
Fantastic really day. God, I woke up this morning and just thinking about how it's been a while since we had like a full day.
Yep.
Not like afternoon sun. It was 8 o'clock this morning. I got up at 6 at the shop, and then all of a sudden the sun come out, and I'm like, look at this beautiful day.
I love this chilly in the shade, cool in the morning, just perfect out in the sun. Baseball practice day number two yesterday for Little League for
I saw you out there. Yeah. Was you coaching it or what? What's the deal?
Yeah.
You are the coach?
No, I'm a coach.
That was you in the picture? I hope it
was. Well, no, that was director, Justin. Yeah, he's in charge of the league. But, yeah, I was coaching. And then yesterday, as General D rejoins us here, it's the first of many, as I try to explain to the missus, Carver 7, and we're still learning to catch the baseball.
The catcher?
No. As in, like, pitch and catch.
Oh.
Yes, we're still learning to get that down. You do know what happens when you don't catch the ball, right?
It hits you in the face.
It hits you in the face.
Yeah.
Second throw. Just warming up before practice starts.
Bam.
He's got a full lip.
Y'all use the soft core balls, though?
It didn't matter.
No, yeah. But still.
No, I know.
No, but
I think it was a real baseball.
Oh.
That somehow got mixed in there. And then, you know, I'm trying to
attend. You threw it to him?
No.
So I would say, did you throw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball?
No, his friend was throwing to him. But It was like that moment, too, where you just, what is going on? Like, we walked out there, and line up across from you, right?
7 and 8? So
yeah. But, like, line up across from you, see the person you're throwing the ball, no cross throwing. Mm-hmm. I got kids to my left throwing and all that. See, how's your lip feeling, bud? Lip feeling? Come over here so I can actually hear you.
Did you practice with him prior to all this?
Well, and that's part of the problem.
It didn't sound like you did.
Sit for a quick second.
Send him out there.
Let's talk about this and see how bad a job I've done as a father on this.
By the way, I want to say I am actually drinking Prime.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. He likes his little lemonade here. We're talking about your lip yesterday. How's it feel?
I just wanted to let you know I'm clearly drinking Prime.
No, I understand that. But how's your lip feel? Like you got...
Not that good.
No?
Not that good? Who threw the ball? It wasn't your daddy. Your dad didn't throw it to you.
No.
Did he practice with you prior to this? Did you learn how to pitch and catch before y'all got there? Or you just went out there cold? Did he teach anything before or you just went out there?
That was when I was practicing before it started.
But before all that, did your dad get you in the backyard and throw some balls to you?
Yeah, no.
That's
whoa.
Now the real
stuff comes out.
I mean, we threw a couple of times in the backyard, didn't we?
No.
What do you mean we didn't?
Ooh, I love
We've
you, Carter.
We've been practicing out there. Don't be snitching on me.
But you didn't.
Oh, okay. All right, that's all the time we have.
are you excited about baseball this year?
Not if I'm going to get hit.
Well, as Coach 4K, Coach General D would say, the best way to not have a busted lip is to catch the ball.
But you know what?
Yeah.
You're still here.
Yeah.
Right, Carver? You're still here. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
It only makes you stronger.
And I also almost broke my arm yesterday.
Well, it looks like you're moving around pretty good now.
Yeah.
So.
It was a rough day
Can't
yesterday.
Wait till football season.
The mini schnauzer apparently tripped him, so he scraped his entire elbow. It was a good about hour and a half. Real good hour and a half. You're going to be all right, though, aren't you?
You'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's good. What did you order?
Pizza.
The biggest thing with baseball is have fun.
Yep.
And listen to your coaches.
Yeah. In other words, listen to Dad.
Yeah.
You good with that?
So they're going to show you what to do so you don't get hit in the face again.
All right.
It might happen, but guess what? It'll be fine and you'll be moving on to the next play.
Girls like guys with busted lips now.
Do they?
I don't know.
Depends how you
as long as you keep your teeth,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, depends how you get the busted lip. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. You're losing in fights. I don't know how much they'd want to hang out with you. You know, but yeah, if it comes in the act of playing sports and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, let him know. I took a fastball to the face.
So. Did you? Did you play baseball at Shaw?
Yes. You know, my dad was a professional baseball player. He was drafted. He played with, you ever heard of a manager, Danny Murtaugh?
No.
No.
Pittsburgh? Pirates?
Mm-mm.
Y'all better go back and do some homework.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad y'all didn't hear that. Yeah.
I mean,
it was back in the day, and he did his
was
little.
Was there color television? I mean, I'm just.
No, there was not.
No color TV. He was. My dad was one of the all-time great baseball players in the city of New Orleans. Just Google it and you'll see.
Sure.
And he could have played anywhere, and then we played, and my uncle.
Daddy?
He was another one that was a star baseball player. But we played all those sports.
Okay.
My two brothers, Keith and Terry, were much better baseball players because they played it a little more serious. I played football serious much more. Well, they did too, but I ran track. I played basketball, football, and baseball at Shaw. You can't do all four.
Right. No.
After the second year, I was like, I'm done with this.
I played all three till JV.
I got rid of after my junior year, after my sophomore year, going to my junior year, I said, I had enough of it. You know, I couldn't. I used to throw the – look, I would run track, and I was a javelin thrower, ran the hurdles, and I ran the relays and stuff. I used to go from the baseball field in a baseball uniform to the track field to go run track, throw – whatever I had to do, and then go back to the baseball field. And I said, you know, I can't do that.
Well, you know, Dad, in college was the kid for UCF, the quarterback. He would come from the baseball field, and then he played football. He was at Ole Miss and transferred over there.
Oh, you're talking about, the kid. Yeah. The quarterback. Plumlee. Plumlee, now, he was,
fantastic athlete.
Yeah, they said he was a good baseball player in high school. Look, I could have gone. They wouldn't let me play baseball at Ole Miss.
At Ole Miss, right.
And you know, you lose your scholarship there. That was back. You go play, but you ain't been in football. Mm-hmm. That's where my bread and butter was at. But no, hit that curveball too. I had a little issue with that because I didn't practice enough. I didn't do it. Chase? Chase should be in pro baseball right now.
I have a great story of Larry Bird. Larry Bird's story about baseball.
Okay.
Did you know Larry Bird played college baseball?
Indiana
State. He actually played it one game. Because the coach was talking to him. He was getting ready to be drafted to the Celtics. And the coach was saying, oh, real men play baseball. And he says, oh, I can go do that. And he said, come on, man. He goes, no, I really can. He goes, you ever played baseball before? No, because I can do it. It's not that hard. He says, all right, you come out. So he came out, and the stands were packed. He played first base and went 1-for-2. Double. Larry Bird. Baseball player.
That was his career.
That was it.
He was a great athlete.
Yeah,
he was.
Still alive, but he's not an athlete anymore, I guess. But, yeah, phenomenal baseball story.
Let me ask you, Scotty, you ever heard of a manager, Danny Murtaugh?
Yeah, where do I know that name?
Pittsburgh, back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling my dad was drafted and played under his, but he was coaching the minor leagues at the time. Well, I used to travel around. I can remember it vaguely. I was young. He got tired of that. Said, "Hell, dude, I'm gonna be a cop." And he after the military, then he went, baseball, and he said, "That ain't for me."
The one thing that I think college baseball needs to change is the number of scholarships. There's a limited number of scholarships. I understand it's not a revenue generating sport, so to speak.
Okay.
But down in the South, it is.
I was gonna say, time out because
certain areas, correct.
Well, here's the thing, right? You heard Chris kind of mention it here as well. That at Arkansas it'll be 10 to 12 or 12 to 14,000.
Yeah.
I think Mississippi State had 14,000. Like, it used to be LSU that had 10,000. Right now, everybody's kind of invested in it. I'm with you. I agree. Now, that's the SEC and some of these other power conferences.
ACC
that get that money,
has
that can help.
ACC
yeah, right.
And
because
SEC.
It does matter with the weather.
Weather. Well,
right?
You know what they do up north. Those teams up north come down for almost a month.
Here's the thing. And look, obviously, we're in the second year. He's starting his second year of baseball. But we've had those talks, too, right? And I talked to Derek and a lot of the people that do the travel ball and do those things. I need more scholarships if I'm going to invest that much time.
Well, that's the thing. It's big business. That's why we won the travel soccer circuit.
Yeah.
And I would tell guys that, why don't you help have your kid kick it through the uprights? They're going to get a full-ride scholarship.
Right.
For soccer, they're going to get partial. They're going to get some books and maybe something else paid for. So same thing with baseball.
It's on its way. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. We are live at Francesca by Katie's.
Deli,
pizzeria, and catering.
You did it.
Because I read your shirt.
He's on.
Rafael Esparza will join us next hour as well. It is another round of the NCAA March Madness. We'll talk about that. Saints and Pels on ESPN New Orleans.